Pardon the interruption, but I'm Frank Isola, in for Wilbon, who has the day off.
I'm Tony Kornheiser. Wilbon. Wilbon. Doesn't ring a bell.
That's your guy. You're like,
Let me be truthful about this. I love Wilbon. And we've been doing this a long time. We've been friends a lot longer. And he took a couple of days off to play golf in Arizona, where he said he hasn't seen a cloud in 3 weeks. Good for him. I hope he's banging it around. I hope he's getting it over 250 yards.
You guys are an 80s
My
cop
age,
movie
I can't get it 180. You know, good for him. Welcome to PTI, boys and girls. In today's episode, the Astros win again. The Chiefs sign Le'Veon Bell. And Aaron Rodgers takes on Tom Brady. But we begin today with another playoff disaster for Clayton Kershaw. He was roughed up in the sixth last night by Ronald Acuna Jr., Freddie Freeman, and Marcell Ozuna, the gold bars of the Braves lineup. By the end of the inning, Kershaw had given up 4 earned runs, and he'd been yanked from the game. The Dodgers didn't help, just 3 hits all game. They're now down 3-1. Frank, do you put this all on Kershaw?
No, I don't. And for a legendary columnist like yourself, I kind of feel like you buried the lead a little bit. You know, what about Bryce Wilson? Here's a guy who hadn't done anything yet, 22 years old. He's a big kid, too, for 22 years old.
Played great.
I want to see his ID. He looks like he's about 30. He was terrific. He retired 12 of the last 13 that he faced, struck out the side in the fifth, and then in the sixth inning, he gets out of it. John Smoltz said when he came in, he says, if he lets one guy on, he's out of the game. And then the sixth inning for Clayton Kershaw, you know what? Here's a guy who's a legendary pitcher. Tony, I'm thinking about it. Is he like Dan Marino, a great regular season player, but doesn't get it done in the postseason? Here are the stats. 11-12 now in the postseason. He is 99 games over 500 in the regular season, but he doesn't get it done in the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, the analogy I would make is more like Greg Maddux, who was 11-14 in the playoffs and was one of the greatest pitchers of all time. Let me go to the glasses for this. Because going into this game lifetime, Kershaw was 5-0 against the Braves with an ERA under 2. I'm trying to come up with a reason to not pin this on Kershaw, and I am failing. You wonder, was he not taken out fast enough? And the manager said, and I'm quoting, I felt really good about Clayton at that point in time when a couple of people were on in the sixth inning. There are worse and more damning statistics. His ERA round by round in the playoffs gets worse. In the division series, it's 3.68. In the LCS, it's 4.84. In the World Series, it's 5.40. From the sixth inning on, it's 7.31. It's a terrible trajectory. It's absolutely terrible. The Dodgers didn't hit. I worried about this yesterday, and I said it on the air. What if they had all their offense for the whole series in the last 2 innings of game 2 and the first 3 innings of game 3? But I'm struck by sadness because I like Clayton Kershaw as a pitcher. He's a Hall of Fame pitcher. I don't have any other emotion other than sadness because I can't find a way to say it's not him. Yeah. Can you?
No, and you know, you mentioned Maddux. He was on a team that won the World Series, and it feels like with Kershaw, until his team wins, he's always going to be looked at as a guy that came up short. Now, you mentioned the sixth inning. To me, he's got to start the sixth inning. I don't care what his ERA is from the sixth inning on. It's a 1-1 game.
Third time around.
But after Freddie Freeman, who somehow hits a ground ball double through the right side of the infield, I don't know how that ball got all the way to the wall.
He's an MVP player.
But once Ozuna comes, but when Ozuna comes up, that's when you got to take him out. He'd already hit a home run against him. That's when you got to bring in the bullpen because the go-ahead run had just scored.
So you say you have to start him in the sixth inning. I'm not disagreeing with that. He's earned it over so many years. He's a great pitcher. But these statistics show that from the sixth inning on in playoff games, it's awful. It's awful beyond words. And I'm looking at the series now, and I think the Dodgers are the best team in baseball. But I don't know how they beat Fried and Anderson, because those two guys are 12-2 this year, and when they pitch, the Braves are 19-4. I don't know how they do that. And so I think it'll be another year of Dodgers not getting as far as they should have. And it's going to land on Kershaw because he's the best player.
But you know what's great about the playoffs? You have a pitcher that nobody knew about a month ago. He comes in, pitches a great game. And then how about Marcell Ozuna? Does he remind you a little bit, I know he's a better player, of Howie Kendrick? Remember the big hits that Kendrick came up with last year in the playoffs and in the World Series?
I love Howie Kendrick.
Right?
I love Howie Kendrick. I'm a Nats fan. Howie Kendrick won all of it. I love Howie Kendrick.
All right. Meanwhile, the Astros are making things interesting in the ALCS. Carlos Correa hit a walk-off homer in the bottom of the ninth to beat the Rays and force tonight's game 6. Tampa has a 3-2 series lead. Remember that. And ace Blake Snell on the mound tonight. So how nervous should the Rays really be?
The Rays should be quite nervous, you know, but a little less nervous than the Astros, because the Rays can afford to lose a game.
Yeah.
And if the Astros lose, they're out. Let's go to Snell for a second. He may not be Jim Palmer, but right now in the playoffs, he's 2-1. He's got a 2.87 ERA. He beat the Astros in game one. He went five innings. He gave up one run. Okay, he doesn't get into the seventh, but as we've heard from Kevin Cash, I got a stable full of horses that can go 98. So if Snell does what he did in the first time around, then they win the game.
I love the fact that the Astros, the first pitch of the game was a homer. The last pitch of the game was a home run. And what bothers me about Tampa is they're not doing the little things. Everything now has to be a home run. The Yankees always try to do that. Look where that got them. So Tampa's got to get back to trying to manufacture runs. That'll help them. But what I find interesting about the Astros, they've become the villain of baseball after what happened with the cheating scandal. They have a chip on their shoulder. Absolutely. But let's remember something else. That's a terrific team with guys that know how to come through in the clutch. And Correa, when he hits that shot, he's looking into the dugout of Tampa because he knows what everybody in baseball is thinking. They took their, you know, they took their hits in spring training when teams were throwing at them. They never got to face any fans this year, so they got away with that. But they're good for baseball because they become an unlikable team, and I think they're wearing that right now.
I will tell you that when G-Man Choi hit it out in the eighth, and he pulverized it.
Yeah, he did.
I was quite confident Tampa was going to win that game. Let's look at the history here, because it's interesting. Houston is only the fourth team. There have been 38 teams that have gone down 3-0 in the playoffs. Yep. They're only the fourth team in history to get to 3-2 after being down 3-0. Only one team ever, Boston, got to 3-3 and they won. So the only conclusion is if you get to 3-3, you're going to win, because what it seems like, Frank, is the pressure shifts dramatically onto the team that had been up.
Yep.
You know, and there's no pressure. There's no pressure on the team that gets to 3-3. And that's, you know, I'm not sure that's going to happen. And you think it's good for baseball that Houston's doing this? You know, part of me thinks that Houston losing in the World Series would be karma.
Yeah.
But the other thing about Houston right now and Correa, they've been hitting balls really hard and they've been caught.
He killed the ball.
If you hit it out, nobody can catch it.
Yeah.
But nobody.
But you know that baseball is a game of averages. And Houston was 29-31 during the regular season. They did not have a great regular season. Tampa's the better team. Do you think that Tampa will win one of them? I think they're still going to find a way to win.
Tampa's a better team. The Dodgers are a better team. They're down 3-1. Within 2 days of being released by the 0-5 New York Jets, that's only because five games have been played. They could be 0-16. Le'Veon Bell has defied gravity and fallen up, way up. He signed a one-year deal with the Super Bowl champion Kansas City Chiefs. Frank, do you expect big things out of Bell and Kansas City's offense?
Yeah, I think if you or I had ended up on Kansas City, I would expect big things because Mahomes is so good and the weapons around him are so good. It's amazing, though. So Bell has this awful time in New York. You want to blame it on the dysfunction of the Jets, go right ahead. Jamal Adams, he talked his way out of New York. He ends up on Seattle. We could get a Seattle-Kansas City Super Bowl with the 2X Jets, so the Jets will finally make it to a Super Bowl. I think Bell will help, but here would be my one thing. It's easy to look at the Jets and say, well, this is all on them. Remember what happened in Pittsburgh, though. Pittsburgh is a legitimate organization. They have a culture there. They have a great head coach. He kind of wore out his welcome there. I understand he was complaining about money, but to me, a red flag goes up. He has a lot to prove, but he's smart. He ended up on the right team.
So I will disagree to this. Antonio Brown was team killer. Le'Veon Bell said from the start, this is the money I want. If you don't give me the money, I'm going to sit out. I'm going to get the money somewhere else. He was not described to me as a problem in Pittsburgh in the way Antonio Brown was a problem. I got very lucky today on my podcast. I had Jason Lockenfora of CBS Sports on, and I asked him about this, and he said he loves Bell going to Kansas City. He said what people forget or maybe just overlook is he's a great pass receiver in the slot or out of the backfield. There were three seasons in Pittsburgh, Frank, where he caught 75 passes or more. And the other thing is, he's not at the top of the food chain, you know, in Kansas City. Mahomes is one, right? Clyde Edwards-Helaire at this point is two. Travis Kelce is three. And Tyreek Hill is four. So he's five. You've got to get online. Now, might he be great because of his size in a goal line offense where Edwards-Helaire is 5'7", he's 6'1", and 225? Yeah, he might be great. I just think the rich get richer. Andy Reid is going to find ways to get him the ball. And I don't know that Adam Gase ever did.
And this is the kind of move that 5 years ago the Patriots always made. The player looking for a second chance always ended up on New England. You know, Kansas City, the guy that leads a team in rushing touchdowns is Patrick Mahomes. Remember last year, Mahomes got hurt. Now, listen, it was a quarterback sneak. Anybody can get hurt on that. But I think they want Le'Veon Bell, especially in the short yardage near the goal
line.
He's going
to handle the
ball.
That's
who they want to give the ball to. Absolutely.
They're going to Mahomes going to turn, stick it in his stomach. Let's take a break. Coming up, will Tom Brady bounce back from last week's loss against Aaron Rodgers and the Packers this week?
And what's wrong with Lamar Jackson's running game? Going the wrong way.
Well, he just doesn't run as much. He's not running
smart.
As much.
Avoid getting
you think
hurt.
Anybody wants to watch Rodgers and Brady? You think, I don't know, 30 million people?
It's going to do well.
Maybe. 30 million.
PTI fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite PTI episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and First Take ad-free as well. They also have your favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/PTI. That's Amazon.com/PTI to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads. Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to Amazon.com/ESPN Pods. That's Amazon.com/ESPN Pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ah, the vibrations are strong in my attic today. That's either my connection to our collective aura or the cable guy doing some drilling on the second floor. Let's find out. I sense the first caller.
Hey, Tony and Frank. This is Connor, longtime viewer. Was wondering if you guys think that Tom Brady will bounce back this week against Aaron Rodgers and the Packers.
So I don't think he will win the game. I think he might bounce back. I don't think he will win the game. Rodgers has been sensational so far. The Packers, I believe, are 4-0 to this point. And Rodgers is motivated by a couple of things. One, I'm sure he would like to beat Tom Brady, because Tom Brady is, without question, the most successful quarterback of all time.
Yep.
So I think he'd like to beat him. But I also think he hates his general manager, and he may hate his coach for drafting Jordan Love. I think he's been fueled by this anger throughout this season. And his numbers, Frank,
it's ridiculous.
His numbers, 13 touchdowns, no interceptions, 70% completion, and a 128 rating. Brady has 12 touchdowns and 4 picks. 2 of those picks went back the other way. I don't think Brady will personalize the game in the way that Rodgers will play the game. There's this great quote from Jamal Williams, a running back from Green Bay. Quote, come on, man. I'm pretty sure my quarterback knows what's fourth down. Rodgers would never do that. He's too smart for that.
Yep.
Whoa, do you really want to say that out loud? Do you want to do that?
And he said, I would never expect that from my boy. So he's really sticking it to Tom Brady. And he's making it seem like Tom Brady has not accomplished anything. He's won 6 Super Bowls, and he's 43 years old. This is supposed to be Aaron Rodgers' time. The fact that Tom Brady is still doing this. So I think that Tom Brady will bounce back, but this is about Tampa Bay bouncing back, because Green Bay looks like they're going to be a team that's going to contend for a Super Bowl. Right now, we don't know if Tom Brady and the Buccaneers are going to contend for a playoff spot. They need to turn things around quickly. And Tom Brady called out his team. Remember that, Tony? During that game, he was, dropping all kinds of words on them, pointing at guys.
That's
and
right.
Now they got a little bulletin board material as well.
So do you remember when this game was called the Bay of Pigs? That's a long time ago. I think Tampa Bay's pretty good. And right now, Green Bay's really good. What's next?
Hi, Tony and Frank. Do you see Lamar Jackson running successfully against my Eagles?
Okay, so if the game plan is just to have him run, he can run against the Eagles. The Eagles are an ordinary defense. They give up almost 30 points a game, Frank.
Yep.
But Jackson hasn't been running much. He is on pace now to run 80 times this year. Last year, when he was a phenom, he ran 116 times. He doesn't even have the most yardage for a quarterback this year running Kyler Murray does. I mean, you know, to quote Herm Edwards, you play to win the game. If you can win the game without him running, win the game, because you're more likely to get hurt running than you
Thank
are
you.
Passing. I guess their concern is the last three games, Lamar Jackson has not passed well. He was tremendous in the first two games against Cleveland and Houston, but those numbers have fallen off.
Yeah, the last 3 weeks, he's only rushed a total of 18 times, and just two times last week against Cincinnati. That was a blowout game. He's got to get to the point, and we're clearly has to improve as a passer. When you look at the way Aaron Rodgers plays, Russell Wilson, Mahomes, your guy Steve Young, they're running away from defenders, gaining yards, getting out of bounds. You want to be a guy that wants to run into defenders, good luck. Look what happened to Cam Newton. You know what? Your time in the NFL is not going to be that long. You're going to end up getting injured. So I actually think it's smart. It's almost like they're playing the long game now with Lamar Jackson.
Yeah.
You can't be in a position where he's going to get himself beaten up because he's played two playoff games in his life, both of them at home, and he didn't play well.
Yeah, and I think they're 4-1. I mean, you know, I mean, I don't think there's any urgency there.
Yep.
I think they're a good team.
Yeah.
That's it. I've seen the future. And coming up, I see us discussing whether Odell Beckham Jr. will play for the Browns on Sunday.
And have the Houston Rockets settled on Mike D'Antoni's replacement. Maybe it's going to be Wilbon. That's why he's not here.
Well, I'll tell you this. Daryl Morey's not picking the guy.
No.
That's for sure.
No.
Yeah.
That's probably why he's out.
Yeah.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. 10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Happy time, people. Happy 40th birthday, Sue Bird. There can't be any room left on the mantelpiece for all the trophies Bird has won. Last week, Bird got her fourth WNBA title with the Seattle Storm. She has four Olympic gold medals. She had two national championships at UConn. She was the number one overall pick in the WNBA, and in 17 seasons, she's been all WNBA, first or second team, 8 times. She has the most assists in league history, 2,888. By way of comparison, if Bird had played as many games as John Stockton, at her rate of assists, she would have 8,369, which would be good for 12th all-time in the NBA. That appears to be apples to oranges, I know, and so is this sort of. Her Seattle coach, Gary Kloppenberg, says Bird is the greatest Seattle athlete of all time. Now, that would take in the Mariners, the Seahawks, and the old Sonics. You can argue Bird over Gary Payton, maybe even Bird over Steve Largent and Russell Wilson. But you can't argue Bird over Ken Griffey Jr. or Seattle Slew. Come on!
Hey, I'd probably take Ken Griffey. I'm going to do a little Michael Wilbon name dropping. I actually spoke to Sue Bird about a week, 10 days ago. You know, she missed last season with the knee injury, won the championship. But how do you, a Long Island guy, not mention that she's from Syosset? How do you not do that?
I actually did. This is the first time I'm hearing that.
Syosset
High
School.
If I'd known that, I'd like her even more. She's Syosset?
Yes.
Really? Wow.
Yes.
Happy anniversary, Aaron Bleepin' Boone. On this day 17 years ago, Boone took Tim Wakefield deep to left for a walk-off home run in the bottom of the 11th in Game 7 of the ALCS to give the Yankees a 6-5 win over the Red Sox and a berth in the World Series. The Yankees have two such grandiose home runs. The other was by Bucky Bleepin' Dent, also over the Red Sox in a one-game playoff in 1978. Neither Boone nor Dent were stars, not like Jeter or Reggie. They were nondescript infielders, which makes what they did more memorable. Baseball literally runs in Boone's blood. Both Aaron and his brother Brett Boone, who played 14 years in the majors, are the sons of Bob Boone, who caught and managed in the majors. Bob, in turn, is the son of Ray Boone, who played infield for 13 years in the majors. Aaron Boone played 12 years, and of his 126 home runs, this is by far the most famous. The happy ending, of course, is that Aaron Boone now manages the Yankees.
You know, for me, that's one of the best games I had ever seen, the Aaron Boone game. Remember, Grady Little kept Pedro in that game, and that was the game where Mariano came in, pitched three innings. Remember him famously celebrating on the mound? Lee Mazzilli was with him as the, both of them were crying. What a game that was. We don't get games like that very often anymore.
Happy trails to a home run for the uni-president 7-Eleven Lions of the Chinese Professional Baseball League in Taiwan. This really looks like a home run. The center fielder, Chae Shwan Lin, who once had a cup of coffee with the Red Sox, goes back, leaps over the wall to bring the ball back. But his facial reaction and his body language is that he didn't get it. The batter thinks it's gone. He goes into a home run trot all the way around the bases. As he heads for home plate, Chae Shwan Lin takes the ball out of his glove and casually tosses it back to the infield. He had it all along. He fooled us. He fooled the batter. He fooled the TV crew. They put up a sign that read, solo home run. Who got the last laugh? Chae Shwan Lin gets the last laugh. Kept the game tied at two.
Don't you think that's kind of the fielding equivalent of a bat flip? Would you be upset if you were the other team?
I think you're always a little bit upset about the bat flips. Can I go back to this thing with Sue Bird? Did she go to Syosset High School on the North Shore?
And then her last year, believe it or not, she went to Christ the King High School in Queens. How about that for a little commute from Syosset to Queens every morning? Because Christ the King was a big powerhouse. She's Syosset.
Syosset High School. No, that's the alma mater of the longtime deputy sports editor of the Washington Post, Lenny Shapiro, Syosset High School.
Yeah.
Wow.
The great Sue Bird.
Wow. Let's go to the big finish. The Patriots closed their facility due to a positive test, and the Colts reopened theirs. Your thoughts?
I think that we're going to get to a point where we might have to keep pushing games back. I don't think the Super Bowl is going to be played when everyone else thinks it's going to get played. It's going to get pushed a little bit. The ailing Odell Beckham Jr. tested negative for COVID and is listed as questionable against the Steelers. Is that a big deal?
A big deal is if you test positive for COVID. That is a really big deal. If you are listed as questionable, maybe you play. I think Odell Beckham Jr. wants to play against Pittsburgh. This is a really big game. But if he shows symptoms that are COVID-like, they're not going to allow him to play because they can't necessarily be sure. It's a fine line that's being walked in sports right now. Mark Stein says John Lucas is the leading candidate for the Rockets head coaching job. He hasn't coached in a long time. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it's 17 years. It makes sense because of this. John Lucas has been working with the Rockets as an assistant coach, and the word has been that Harden would have a lot of say in who the next coach would be. It sounds like Harden. Maybe that's one of the reasons why Daryl Morey is at. Vikings running back Dalvin Cook is out against the Falcons due to a pulled groin. Is that a big loss?
It's a big loss because he's their best running back, but they're playing the Falcons, who are 0-5 and just fired the coach and the GM. They have no motivation to win this game. It'll be all right. Last one, Texans at Titans on Sunday. Do the Titans stay unbeaten?
Yes, they will. This, by the way, Bill Parcells coaching tree versus the Bill Belichick coaching tree. You don't get a lot of those either.
And Bill Belichick is in the Parcells coaching tree. We're out of time. Try and do better the next time. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
And I'm Frank Isola. Michael Wilbon will be back on Monday. Thanks for watching. You can get the PGA podcast on the ESPN app or Apple Podcasts.